does Christmas mean to you? Now, there were a few people who responded by saying that it was the birthday of Jesus. But most people weren't even close. Here are some of the answers. Said one, Christmas is a time for family and friends to come together, exchanging gifts and having lots of fun. Nothing wrong with that. Another stated, Christmas is a time for which we should feel warmth in our hearts. And from this warmth naturally emerges giving of gifts, kind gestures, and thoughts. One man said that Christmas is just another day. What a sad response. In December 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground and into the air at Kitty Hawk. Thrilled over the accomplishment, they telegraphed this message to their sister, Catherine. We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper, showed him the message. He glanced at it and said, "Well, how nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the big news. For the first time in human history, man had flown. I think that's true of so many today, not just those in the survey. They totally miss the big news. They totally miss the meaning of Christmas. I would suggest to you this morning that Christmas, first of all, means that God keeps His word. What He says, He will do. When He speaks the truth. Centuries earlier, He said He would come. And He did. To be sure, it took longer than anyone expected. Indeed, it took so long for that promise to be fulfilled that some stopped looking and they stopped believing and they stopped expecting that He would ever come at all. But then God showed up anyway. And of all places, in a stable in Bethlehem. But He wasn't late. And He wasn't early. He was right on time. As Paul tells us, in his letter to the Galatians, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now that phrase, the fullness of time, means the time set by God. God's own time. The Father keeps His word. And together with that, Christmas means that you never walk alone. Maya Angelou has a poem entitled Alone. Hear the opening lines, lying, thinking last night, how to find my soul a home. where the water is not thirsty and bread loaf is not stone. I came up with one thing, and I don't believe I'm wrong, that nobody but nobody can make it out here alone. Alone, all alone. Nobody but nobody can make it out here alone. What a terrible thought that would be, that you are all alone, that you are faced to life, you are forced to face life and all that life brings, that you must fight all your battles alone. But Christmas means Emmanuel. God is with you. And that means that Christmas means that somebody is standing by you. Somebody is at your side. Somebody walks with you through all of life and all the struggles that life brings your way. That He will never leave you alone. Andrew Davison tells of visiting Dr. Albert Schweitzer, that great humanitarian, theologian, musician, physician, missionary, at his jungle hospital in Africa. When he met Schweitzer, Schweitzer was 85 years old. And he tells us that one event during his visit stands out. He said it was about 11 o'clock in the morning and the equatorial sun was beating down mercilessly on the group. Schweitzer and Davison were walking with a group of others up a hill. And suddenly he said that Dr. Schweitzer left the group. He walked across the slope of the hill to a place where an African woman was struggling upward with a huge armload of wood for the cook fires. Davison said that he watched with admiration and some concern as the 85-year-old Schweitzer took the entire load of wood and carried it up the hill by himself. When they had reached the top of the hill, one of the members asked Dr. Schweitzer why he did things like that, implying that in that heat and because of his age, he shouldn't be doing that. Schweitzer, looking right at the guest and pointing at that African woman, said simply, "No one should ever have to carry a burden like that alone." And I want you to know this morning, that's how God feels about you. Whatever you're going through, whatever life brings your way, God's heart says no one should ever have to carry a burden like that alone. As God said to Joshua through Moses, so He says to you this morning, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Thirdly, I think Christmas means somebody paid it all. Somebody paid it all. Everything you owed. I came across this, silly little story the other day about a young man walking through a supermarket. He was just picking up a few things. And he noticed this elderly lady was falling everywhere, up one aisle and down the other. Well, he didn't think anything of it. He went ahead and got what he needed and went to the counter, and he got to the checkout line, and this lady jumped in front of him. And she turned to him and said, I'm sorry if my staring at you has made you uncomfortable. But it's just that you look like my son who died recently. And the young man said, oh, I'm so very sorry to hear that. Is there anything I can do for you? And she said, well, now that you mentioned it, when I leave the store, would you mind just waving at me and saying, goodbye, Mom? It would make me feel so much better. And the young man said, yes, I can do that. And so the elderly lady put her groceries in the cart, and she started toward the door, and she turned, and the young man smiled and waved at her. He said, goodbye, Mom. And out she went through the door. The young man put his few things up on the counter, and the clerk rang them up, and he looked at the young man and said, that'll be $127.50. He said, what? He said, I only got a few things. He said, well, your mother said you'd pay for her stuff as well. Well, somebody paid for you. Somebody paid your debt. For all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone unto his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As the angel said to Joseph, name the child Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, he was saying about everyone's sin, even yours, even mine, I'll pay for him. I'll pay for her. I'll pay for you. Let us not forget, during this season of the year, that behind Bethlehem's cradle stands a cross. And that cross reminds us that somebody paid your debt, a debt you could never pay. And Christmas means that what seems like the end of things is not the end of things. I don't mean to pull on anyone's heartstrings this morning, but I can tell you that as Christmas approaches, I think back to Christmases past. My parents and my two brothers, to my family as a child. Now I am indeed truly blessed and grateful for the family that God has given me as an adult, as a husband, a father, a grandfather. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. But from time to time, I do miss the family of my childhood, especially at Christmas. And if Christmas means anything, it means that someday that longing will be fulfilled, that what seems like the end of things at that time of loss is not the end of things at all. That the good news of Christmas, as Paul tells us, is not only that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, but that he rose again on the third day. And that he conquered death for every believer. Author Philip Yancey's wife, Janet, according to Eric Ritz, she runs a program for senior citizens at a nursing home. And he tells how one of the women who attends the weekly meetings is an Alzheimer's patient named Betsy. And one day, Janet asked Betsy if she would read aloud the hymn, "The Old Rugged Cross." Betsy read the first two lines. "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame." And suddenly Betsy stopped and began to cry, and she said, "I can't go on. It's too sad." And everyone looked at Betsy with their mouths open, because that was the first time in years that Betsy had said anything that anyone could really understand that made sense. Betsy started again, but each time she tried to read the entire hymn, she would start crying again when she got to the second line. The group broke up, and Betsy headed back down the hall toward her room, and as she did, she started to sing in a clear voice. And as she came to those last hope-filled lines, "So I'll cling to the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown." And when she finished singing, Betsy was crying again. But this time, they were tears of joy. And Eric Ritz said, "It's enough to make anyone cry tears of joy. It's the best good news in the world. For those who are in Christ, this world is only a prelude to a better world yet to come." One thing more. Christmas means, listen, Christmas means that we have a story to tell. And that we have a love to share with those out there who do not know, who have not heard. The shepherds of old tell us this, as Luke has it in his gospel, when the shepherds found the babe lying in the manger. They spread the word. I like that. Can't you imagine them running frantically around, telling everybody they met? They told them what the angels had told them concerning the child, that in the city of David, a Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord, and He's the Savior for all people, everywhere. And the message is, from the very beginning, God never intended that we keep that good news of Christmas to ourselves, confined within the walls of the church. It's not for the few, but for the many. Even for the whole world, even for the people right here in Sanford. Even in your neighborhood and mine. Pastor Wayne Brower tells about the beginning of his own denomination, the Christian Reformed Church. And he tells how one of the ministers sent a letter to a meeting of other church leaders telling them that he was pulling out. He was going to start his own denomination. The church they are part of, he said, has too many contacts with the world around it. The church should be off by itself, separated from the rest of society, living its own little life in its own little corner. Here are his words. The church, the bride of Christ, is a garden enclosed, a well shut up, and a fountain sealed. That was his view of the church. Do you get the picture? Asked Brower. The church is a nice little community off by itself, doing its own thing, untouched by the world. It's as pretty as a garden full of flowers, but it puts a high wall around itself so nobody can get in. It's a well of refreshing water, but stopped up so nobody will get it dirty by taking a drink. It's a fountain of surging excitement, albeit sealed within concrete barriers, so its power won't slip away. And Brower went on to say, it is critical that we understand what the church is about. We are not merely a shrine where people come to offer up prayers in order to attract the attention of a disinterested deity. We are Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, healing the hurting, lifting the fallen, calling the world to faith and repentance. And as we draw near to Christmas and on into this new year, may we remember who we are. The Corpus Christi. And may we remember that the meaning of Christmas compels us to tell the story, to share the love, healing the hurting, lifting up the fallen, calling the world, our world, to faith and repentance. May we hear God's call to be that people where we are. This is our time of invitation. And as we bow our heads, may we invite God afresh into our lives. May those who do not know him open their hearts and receive him as Savior. And also during this time, may we commit ourselves to being God's people here on this highway in this community as we pray.